Father, we thank you so much for Jonathan. We thank you for the gift that he is already to us as a church family, and we thank you for the call that's on his life. And we pray this morning your blessing on him. Thank you for the word that you've given him, and would you come, Holy Spirit, and make the words that he speaks your words to us. So we open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to you and say, would you use your son to speak to us today? Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Right, well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you today. Yeah, as Sam said, or maybe didn't say, I'm more of a regular at the 10:30 service, but it's really wonderful to be here with you bright and early today. And the message that I've been given to preach on is that passage from Isaiah, if you'll remember that, the first reading that we had today. And the task I was given by Malcolm was to think about how we can do Christmas differently, how we can make the connection to Christmas fresh this year, rather than just pursue what we always do. And I thought that was quite a challenging task for me to do, but there were three things that really jumped to mind, and three things that I think we can really do to make that Christmas connection fresh this year. The first one, which I'm going to spend most of my time talking about, is that I think we really need to recognise that at Christmas we should be celebrating and trusting in Jesus for the future. Christmas is a time of reflection, but actually in the church year it's the start of the church year, and we should be looking forwards with greater intensity than we look back. And then the other two things that I'd like to mention quickly, but are no less important, the fact that we should commit Christmas to going deeper with Jesus, because it's about him, and lastly, that we can commit our Christmas to going deeper with each other in community. So taking that first point, and I mentioned that I think Christmas is really a time of reflection. It tends to be a time that we look back on the year past and we look at all the ups and downs, all the highs and lows. And in many ways, this is our routine. It's certainly my routine. We make it through the year. We have a very busy year and we get to Christmas, and then we maybe post-Christmas crash out and recuperate and we leave the future to the new year. Alternatively, of course, it's a part of a period which is so busy that all we can do is focus on surviving the present. So we look at the short term and not the long term, and we devote all of our attention to chaos management and to making it through to calmer waters. Or, alternatively, perhaps you fall somewhere in the middle of those two things. But I'd like to suggest that either way, both of those mindsets are actually at odds with the hopeful joy that we've heard in that passage of Isaiah. And it comes through so clearly. It's so different from that idea of just getting through or looking backwards. It's so full of joy, so full of hope, and it makes so many promises that I know as a church we long to see come to pass in the world around us. I mean, we could list some of the promises, for example. We've got joyful nations, an end to war, no more oppression, and eternal peace. Those are just some of the promises that Isaiah makes to us. Now, I'm going to be totally honest and open with you at this point. Passages of scripture like that sometimes leave me feeling a bit uneasy. I have to confess that they make me ask myself some tough and uncomfortable questions. I think, what about all these prophecies which seem unanswered? Maybe you can join me in that. There are times where doubt creeps in, and even clear biblical promises seem not to have been answered. And this passage is definitely one of those. For example, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning. It will be fuel for the fire. That's one of the promises from Isaiah. And yet this year, 2016, it seems like we've seen more bloodshed and violence than ever before. We've got ongoing war in Syria, a persecuted church all over the developing world, as well as reports of racially motivated violence in the US and at home. And I don't want to dwell on the negative. I really don't want to be overly negative, but I do think it's important that we can be honest, open, and vulnerable with each other. This can be difficult. Sometimes the scripture is hard, and I, for one, am not immune to feeling concerned or doubting. And sometimes at periods of reflection, like Christmas, we can do exactly the same things in our own life. And just to sum that up, I read a passage from Malcolm's book, which is excellent, by the way. I highly recommend it. And there's a passage from Malcolm's book which I think sums this attitude up. He says, "We long to believe and see great things. We long to be part of the advancing kingdom of God. We can feel perplexed, let down, disillusioned. Much has been promised. We have heard the wonderful prophecies, but seen little change. All right, now that's the end of the negative, I promise, because the positive is far, far better. And I think it's really important to accept and to recognize that this feeling is absolutely okay, and it's totally natural. And when we experience doubt and things like that, we shouldn't dismay. We have to be real about what's happening, but we also have to be real about what's happening when we experience this mindset. Retrospection and looking backwards is fine. In fact, it's really important. We all use retrospection to look back at what went well and what didn't go well. Sorry, what went well and didn't go well, and then we can actually reflect on those things and either make improvements, we can repent, or we can rejoice. Retrospection is really important. But the Christmas promise we have in Isaiah 9 is not about looking back for the sake of looking back, nor is it even about how we're going to get through a busy present. It's about the future. It is a promise that we as Christians have a joyful future. Let's consider the end of the passage. Isaiah says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And we will be called, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." So Isaiah's message isn't a message of, okay, we've reached Christmas, we've done all right, everything's fine, let's party and celebrate. And nowhere in Isaiah will you see a passage like that, or anywhere else in the Bible. In fact, Scripture positively warns against that. We've got that passage like 1 Peter 1, for example, which warns us that we will have to suffer all kinds of grief and trial, even as we look forward to our eternal inheritance. So if this passage from Isaiah is not a declaration of an easy ride now, we can draw strength from two biblical promises. First, as we see in this passage of Isaiah, God has given us a message of promise and of hope and of faithful trusting in the Lord God Almighty for the future. And second, just as importantly, in the struggles of the present, we have the companionship and protection of the Holy Spirit, who John describes as a comforter who will always abide with us, and a Saviour who has overcome the world, including all of its suffering. Nothing is bigger than we are in Christ. And I think it's so important to recognise that even as we look to the future, our present is secure too in Christ. I love that Psalm 27, which says, "I know that I will live to see God's goodness in this present life." So really what I'm suggesting is not that we can forget the present and look to the future because it's all going to be all right in the end, but what I am saying is that we can live out the present according to the certainty of our future that we have in Christ. And perhaps even more wonderful than Isaiah's emphasis on future, however, is what he describes God as having already done. I've pointed out that the second section of this passage is in the future tense, but the first section is actually in the past tense. For example, Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy, for you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor." What we have in this shift in discussion from the past to the future is this: our future, which is promised, is secure because the work has already been completed by Christ Jesus. This is the reason that we can seize hold of these promises, the promises that are made to us in this passage, because there is no surer foundation than God Almighty and what he has already done for you. Our call as Christians this Christmas, therefore, is to rejoice in the certainty of our future, which has been established, sealed, and anointed by Christ. It will be full of good things, for as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." So even Paul saying this, no, these things are not necessarily always evident in the present, but they have been done and they will be seen. The work has been done, but we may not have seen the fruit just yet. So what promises has God made to us this Christmas? In what ways in our lives can we consider Christ's birth a seal over our coming inheritance here, now, as well as in eternity? I would urge you all to ask God personally for yourselves, for your own year ahead. But there are some wonderful scriptural promises that we can take hold of even as we wait upon them eagerly. And I've just got three promises for us today. One is that God will bring you joy. Revelation 21 verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." How about that? The pain and difficulties that we suffer today, the tough things that we go through, are actually former things that are passing their way. They're not the present and they're not the future. They're the former. They're the past. They're on their way out. And we can rejoice in that. That's not to detract from the pain that we can go through, but we can take comfort knowing that these things are on their way out. Second of all, God will make you to be like Christ, perfect in every way. 1 John 3 verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So if you ever feel like you come up short, or perhaps you're inadequate, don't worry. You're going to be like Christ. And lastly, we can take refuge in the fact that God will be faithful to us, and we can depend on him to keep all of the promises that we see in Scripture, especially the ones in Isaiah, and whether or not they seem like they've been completed. Deuteronomy 7 commands us, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." We have a God who makes and keeps promises. So really, to conclude from all that, let's not get trapped in retrospection this Christmas, nor be overwhelmed by the busyness of everything that we have to fit into December. Instead, let's trust God fully for help in our present, no matter how big the challenges that face us. That includes the Christmas rush. Let's allow God's promises to shape our future, which is unfolding around us even now, filled with blessing. Let's get excited about trusting in Jesus, knowing that our full inheritance awaits. For it will indeed be ours, because this has already been determined by God. As it says in Romans, we can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. My last two points are this. First, we should commit our Christmas period to going deeper in our relationship with God through Jesus. Christmas is, after all, about celebrating the moment that our relationship with our Father was redefined. In Isaiah 7, which is a little bit earlier than this passage we've heard today, speaks about Emmanuel. And we all know what Emmanuel means, God with us. The point of Christmas is that God is with us. So we need to make the Christmas celebrations about him. Whatever we do, whatever fresh connections we're looking for, we cannot afford to forget that Jesus saved us from our sins, so that we can have eternal, personal relationship with the Father. What would be the point of working out a way to enjoy Christmas even more if we were to forget what it's really about, relationship? And as all things are become new in Christ Jesus, if we really want Christmas to be new and fresh this year, let's commit to going deeper in our relationship with Jesus this Christmas, practically as well as in principle, in order that we might allow him to shape our Christmas experience. We cannot do it any other way. This requires a practical response, my friends. It means carving out a time in our busy Christmas period to listen to his voice in the scripture, to wait upon him in prayer and in listening, and to worship him. Lastly, we should commit our Christmas period to going deeper in our relationship with others, and particularly with each other. After all, this passage from Isaiah is one of peace and an ending of strife. I wonder, what does peace look like to us over this Christmas period? Are we prepared for a peaceful Christmas? By peace, I don't mean necessarily an absence of the frantic preparations and an end to all the possible stresses and busyness of the period, although that might be something that you want to commit to. I mean peace with each other, peace amongst family members, intentionally deepening our relationships with our family, both personal and church. This is an intentional thing too, and requires a practical commitment. And that's all I'd really like to say today. But it feels right at this point just to say that perhaps here today there may be people who are dismayed by their past. They might feel lost in their present and uncertain about their future. If that's you today, I really urge you at the end of the service to speak to one of our lovely clergy members, and they'll be happy to talk to you some more about the promise of Jesus for your life and for your future. Perhaps we could just close with a prayer. Lord, this Christmas we ask that you teach us to trust your promises, to deepen our relationship with you, and to enjoy peace with one another, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Thank you.